ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர்க், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் எ ஃபாதர்ஸ் ஸ்டோரி ஃப்ரம் பிரிசன், டிசிஷன்ஸ், கிரியேஷன் ஆஃப் எ ஹோம், ஹார்ட் ஃபெல்ட் அட்வைஸ் ஃப்ரம் பிரிசன், பிரசன்டட் பை ஸ்ரீ சத்குரு சிவாய சுப்பிரமணிய சுவாமி. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Today, Kuwaiti Nam is November 13th, Sun 2 by our Vedic calendar. Now we're going to hear from Christine Nerpio. Like Cherie, she's a mother who has found herself in prison in an unhappy condition, but she has pulled herself together. We're going to hear what she has to say.
Christine, why are you an inmate here at KCCC?
I'm in jail for crystal meth ice promoting. My husband and I were using it and selling it.
Why did you use drugs?
For me, it was to get away from the reality of the problems we had in our marriage. I come from an abusive relationship. So when we were high, I was everything to him. No abuse. He treated me very nice. When he came down, that's when the abuse would kick in.
What did the drugs do to you?
Your mind. Oh, what it does to you. Like, if you don't sleep, you go in a daze, like, where you start thinking things that aren't really there.
What's your advice to kids taking methamphetamine, ice?
If they're using it, all that they're getting from it is you get this feeling of you can conquer the world. You're tall, you're strong, you can stay up all night, you can party, you can keep on going, you can keep on going. But once the high wears off and then you don't have any more of the ice, then where do you go from there? So either you're not going to have the money or you're going. And if you need more of the money, that's when the violence comes in. That's when you start doing whatever you can to forget them. So that area right there is what leads to you beating up your wife or your spouse, stealing, the crime big time. That's where. When you're not going to, you come off and you need to forget them. That's your addiction right there. So you can do whatever to support your addiction. Sell it.
How often did you use it?
It was more of a weekend drug for my husband and I than it was throughout the week. It would sell more, and then on the weekend we would use it.
What's the effect of ice?
Have you ever heard of it like being a sex kind of drug? It's a major, it's like the minute you take it, It sets you into a state of mind, like, bam, you want sex. That's what it did for me and my husband. I mean, and it's like it gets you out of reality and gets you into this fantasy world. That's one of the problems that a lot of us here have is, we all want love. We all want to be something to somebody. And then that's what can lead you to that drug. Because when you're on that drug, or, for example, even smoking Paco Lolo or Coke, you feel differently about yourself. Your insecurities, or maybe your... You don't feel as weak, but then when you come off, oh my goodness, that's the one.
How can you tell if your children are on drugs?
We can tell you signs. The first one would be they pull away from you. They don't like sit down, talk story with you. They don't want to eat dinner. Not eating, that's a good one. Money. They start asking you for money, and you got to really be on top of your children when it comes to money. Whereas, mom, we're going to go movies or we're going to go out. I mean, for all you know, you're giving them $20. They're going to be hanging out someplace that they don't really need money, but they're going to use that money for buy drugs. They'll come home and all they're going to do is sleep. The no-care attitude. And then they're going to be up nighttime for go out.
Cherise, how did the drugs affect you?
Besides having sex, it used to give me that extra energy to do something, get a job done. Normally, without the drugs, I would be real lazy and, oh, forget it, procrastinate. But this drug, it would just make me get my things done, be able to tend to my children as well as, you know, get the clothes done, the house organized. And
Christine, how did you use methamphetamine?
You'll put some in a pipe and you'll smoke a couple hits, and then you put the pipe down, and then you go about your business, do your thing. Then when you start feeling tired again, or then you take again, then it's like...
Cherise, do you think ice, methamphetamine, is manufactured here in Kauai?
But, hey, people are making it, man. I mean, don't let that pass you. Don't say they don't make it on Kauai, because I wouldn't be surprised that it's already being made on Kauai.
Who do you think takes drugs on Kauai?
You'd be surprised what kind of people take drugs. Parents, too. And a lot of them, when my husband and I started to get into it, a lot of people, a lot of his friends did it so they could work three jobs. When the plantation went down, that they lost a lot of jobs and they needed to kick in because a lot of them bought homes. You know, they depended on that income. And when that was cut off, man, they had to do what they had to do. And so then they started to take that drug to keep them up to work graveyard shift jobs.
How can kids resist peer pressure?
It's hard when you're in peer pressure because you can stay strong only for so long. And then eventually, you know, you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to just try. I'm just going to see what going to do. That's all I'm going to do is try, and that's all it takes. It's just that one time.
What should kids do instead of drugs?
See, but nowadays in this time, in this era, it's like we don't appreciate beach. We don't appreciate the mountains. Simple kinds of stuff. We don't appreciate that.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Cherise. You've been very, very kind. Share your heart and mind with those listening to our talks on cyberspace worldwide. I know it's going to reach somebody out there, and all the good fortune will come back to you if you help somebody remain on the right track. Today at Kwarinam, November 14th, I had no idea there'd be so much interest. We're having Arumuga Swami dig deeper into the life of men in prison. Gerald Tevis is going to tell about his experience on ICE and other kinds of mind-changing substances. And I hope it will discourage some of you young people out there. You don't want to grow up and have to go through his experience. And he will get the good karma if he can turn your life around at this early stage.
Hello, my name is Gerald Tevis. I'm an inmate here at KCCC. I'm outside in the Lifetime Stand program. I'm in prison for theft second. My crime was to do because of crystal meth and amphetamine. I was sentenced to 5 years in prison. I've been down now for 4 years.
Have you been at this jail all those 4 years?
No, I've been at Halava High Security for 2 years in close custody. Then from there I went transferred to the medium facility and back to Kauai now.
Why did you start taking drugs and how old were you?
I started taking drugs about 12 years ago, and reason why I took drugs because I thought getting high was the right thing to do. Honestly, I can say all the people that I used to hang out with, they was all into drugs, and I went on the wrong path. I got myself deep involved with mostly crystal meth. I lost everything I had.
So what was the first thing you took?
I started off with marijuana, Pacalolo, and from there I went to crack cocaine, and from cocaine I went to crystal meth.
How much were you spending on drugs?
I was spending a lot of money on drugs. I was smoking at least $300 to $600 worth of batu a day. I was buying drugs from big time drug dealers on Oahu, and I was getting them cheap from them, and I was selling them down here for more, just for support my habit and get high. Along the way, I stole a lot of things from people, caused them a lot of pain, hurt. I stole money, I stole car stereos, I stole cars, I stole wallets out of people's rental cars, anything that I could trade or sell just to get more drugs.
Let's talk about the drugs for a minute. What did they do to you? What did it feel like to take crystal meth?
The feeling for me, what I went through to crystal meth is, the most I went through was paranoia. I always thought that my girlfriend was fooling around when she wasn't. I always thought that I had cops watching me.
Do you have any children?
Yes, I have a son and a daughter. My son is 7 years old and my daughter is 6 years old. I see them every Sundays.
How often did you see them at Halava?
To my whole 2 years that I did at Halava, I never see them, not once. I just hoping for someday we can get back together so the kids can be with their mom and dad.
What did the drugs do to your mind and your body?
What the drugs did to my mind was made me do things that I never thought that I was going to do in my life, you know, hurt people, steal, cheat, lie. What a drug did to my body was deteriorate me, made me lose a lot of weight, you know, made my bones in my face start showing, and that is how my family caught on that I was doing some heavy drugs. My message to the young kids out there today is, drugs is not the way to go. Drugs will make you lose everything in life, your family, your children if you have children. You lose your freedom. You come to prison and be told when to eat, when to sleep, when to shower. You lose everything. It's going to be real rough. There's a lot of better other things in life to do than to take drugs or even think about them. When you lift up that pipe and decide to take that hit, you're only picking up the shovel to your grave. To me, I feel drugs is crazy. Drugs is not worth it. There's many other positive things we can do in this community. If you catch them when they're young, then the roots is still young yet, then you don't have to really dig deep in deep and work with them for years to stop them from going further into criminality and drugs and all that.
Gerald, we want to thank you very much for lending your name and your voice and your experience to the youth out there in many countries, Norway, Sweden, France. Many countries tune into Today at Kuarinam. We want to introduce to you Jonathan Korpas, who is in the Kauai Community Correctional Center. He's been there a long time. He is a man who has had a very good life. Jonathan had two cars, a home, children, a good job. He'll explain himself. Jonathan, let's hear your story. We really appreciate your using your name and giving of your experience to all the young people out there in cyberspace.
My name is Jonathan Korpas. I'm here for forgery. I cashed checks so I could get drugs. I stole the checks from my mom. I was addicted to crystal methamphetamine and was sentenced to 5 years here in jail.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
When did you start taking drugs and what did you start with?
I started marijuana, I think in 1987 when I was 16. The only reason why I did it is because my friends were doing drugs, and I always thought that, you know, if whatever they're doing, I should do the same thing so that they like me, I guess.
What did the drugs cost you?
I had a lot of things that I'd saved because of my job. I'm a baker. I've been a baker for 7 years. And I seen a friend that I knew that had been using crystal meth, so I decided to ask him, just for something to do on the weekend. I guess the addiction came back, you know. So I got back into that, and my life since then, I lost everything. I sold everything. I started stealing from my parents. I started stealing from my sister, my cousins, everybody. And the want for the drug is so strong that you're willing to do everything that you never thought you could do. It's a really dangerous drug.
Do you have children?
I have 3 children.
What's happened with the children as a result of the drugs?
I haven't been there for most of their lives. It's just like they're left without a dad.
What would you say to kids who want to do drugs?
If you like living, I mean living normal lives, being able to get a job, being able to keep a job, being able to buy a car and keep that car without ever having to worry about selling it for drugs, without having friends look at you and saying things like, what's going on with you, what's wrong with you? I mean, because the physical effects of ice, you can see it. You lose a lot of weight, start getting pimples on your face, you start getting paranoid, your eyes, you know, flitch, and people around you start staring at you. I mean, I lost 2 years, 3 years out of my life. I mean, there's nothing, no purpose whatsoever because of the drug. I lost everything, house, car, family, friends, sister, brother, cousin, my children, everybody. They don't trust me because I stole for the drugs. They don't trust me because they don't know if the drugs has long, you know, have any long-term effects on my brain that I might be, you know, dangerous. So they don't even come to see me here in jail. I'm doing time. I hardly get visits. If you want to lose everything, drugs will do that to you.
Well, most of these kids think they can handle it.
Crystal methamphetamine is not alcohol. It's not smoking cigarettes. It's a drug that makes you want it so badly that you'll do anything for it. It affects anybody. I don't care who you are. No one can handle the drug. No one can. There's no way you can control how much you take. You're still going to want more. If this is the amount you take today, you're going to take double that amount the next day.
Well, let's talk about the drug situation on the island. How many people are there on the island who are dealers, big-time dealers?
Maybe about 100, I'd say, big-time dealers. As far as, like, how many people use drugs, I mean, everybody I knew that was outside was affected by it or was using it or was selling it. I mean, a lot of people were. I don't know, maybe a third of the population of Kauai, maybe, have tried it or at least are involved with it in some way. Our high schools, at least over half of the population in the high schools already have tried crystal methamphetamine or are hooked on it already, at least half or more. I know that for a fact, because a lot of my customers at the time were high school students.
How do you tell if your kid is on drugs?
Look for paranoia, differences in maybe weight loss or sometimes weight gain, depending what the drug is. Strange acts that they might do, being kind of secretive or always locking up their rooms, not wanting to join in family activities, not being home all the time, not having any appetite, being violent at times when they shouldn't be, being really sensitive to things you say to them, not wanting to listen to you, all those are signs. All the kids out there, you know, if there's anything that I can say, is that, you know, drugs won't do anything. And if you are already involved with it, don't be afraid. Just, you know, reach out for help. Regardless if you think you're doing pot, you're doing coke, you're doing ice, alcohol at a young age, or whatever it is, it'll all lead to something bigger sooner or later. You know, everybody says that marijuana is the beginning, and then you go up, you'll progress into a worse drug. And no matter what you think, nobody's will is strong enough to resist. You know, I don't think anybody is. It'll take everything away from you, even your last breath of life.
Jonathan, we want to thank you for telling your story in such an honest way, such an articulate way. You really reached the heart of young people, not only on the island of Kauai, but in many countries of the world who tune into Today at Kauainam, our cyberspace ashram. And I'm sure, Jonathan, that you have made a difference. Today at Kauainam, November 16th, on our daily calendar, Sun 5. Today we conclude our series on drugs, the law, and you, produced for the Coalition for Drug-Free Kauai. We're going to explain the consequences of taking drugs. We're going to explain the consequences so that you can make a decision or you can help someone else make a decision, because that's what it comes down to, is making a decision. Power of decision is a very great power. Everyone wants power. The power of decision is a very great power. We must acquire that power and then use it and teach others to use it. Make the right decision. Say no to drugs. We are going to give you some ammunition to help you make the decision to be free from drugs on this beautiful garden island, who has zero tolerance for drug use of any kind. The consequences are, drugs are illegal. You become a criminal. You can have your home or car seized under the drug asset seizure law. You can have your parents' home or car seized. You can be arrested for driving under the influence and lose your license. People steal your drugs from you, putting you in danger. You can't earn enough to buy it. You can't even steal enough. You have to deal. You have to sell to support the habit. Must recruit new users to deal. Drugs make you meet people you'd never meet otherwise. Not so good people. Sellers, dealers, junkies. It puts you into a lower realm of life. You can become violent. You have to get a gun to protect yourself. More danger follows. The government has to deal with you after you become a criminal. It's very expensive for society. And the summary goes on. you won't behave normally. You will harm your body, you will harm your mind. You become paranoid, always looking over your shoulder, thinking things are going to happen. Can't study well anymore. Probably won't graduate, no education, therefore no career. Do things that you never thought you would do. Rob, steal, lie, forge, pull away from your parents, humiliate your parents, pull away from your teachers, create abnormal relationship with friends, girlfriends, boyfriends, escape from problems of life, not solving them, ruin your reputation, go into prostitution. You might think it won't happen to you. So did everyone else on this CD who is now in Kauai Community Correctional Center. The Hindu-Buddhist reasons are bad karma, bad birth, can't escape from karma. It'll always catch up with you. If not in this life, then the next. We can't just say no because somebody told us to say no. We need to meditate. We need to think upon the consequences of what will happen to us by using these terribly dangerous substances. Think about it. Only you can make the decision. No one else can for you. Only you. How are we going to handle this? International problem. It has to be handled by the decision-making faculty within the person, him or herself. We have to make a decision. You can't convince a young person here on the island of Kauai to surf on a 50-foot wave. They also don't drive 100 miles an hour down the hills from Kauai. Why? Because they know the consequence. They are well-educated. They know the consequence, and be they 12 years old, 16 years old, 20 years old, 24 years old, they make the proper decisions because they know the consequence. It is you out there in cyberspace who make all the decisions. Nobody forces anything upon you. You make decisions for yourself and take responsibility for your decisions. So therefore, education to young people at an early age, education to people who are young adults and to people who are adults as to how to make a decision, how to find the facts, how to check the facts, how to verify what you know against what others have experienced and make the proper decision. Therefore, drugs are not an issue. Law is not an issue. The issue is training people to make the proper decisions so that they are law-abiding citizens because they have decided to be law-abiding citizens, because they do not take drugs, because they do not want to alter their mind, they do not want to lose their standing in the community, they do not want to lose the functioning of their physical body and their mind. The power of decision is a great power to pass on to the next generation. Today at Kauai Nam, November 17th, by our Vedic calendar, Sun 6. Today, our pilgrims from Kashi Ashram in Florida departed. 3 brahmacharis and 2 swamis. They came all the way across the United States, across the Pacific Ocean to the Hawaiian Islands, to observe how our ashram here manages to reach out to so many people worldwide, from the little garden island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. They observed our 5 schools within the ashram. The school of temple cooking and taking care of animals, the school of maintenance and growing food and taking care of the lands, the school of publication, and the school of finance, purchasing and selling, and the school of managing Sarvasadhana Church and Himalayan Academy Correspondence Course. They went back with their heads full of new knowledge to make their ashram more like our ashram. Ashrams around the world share information with each other. We're also working with an ashram in Bangalore, India, that is taking 5 of our young men from ages 7 to 12 for a 5-year training course, training them to be the temple priests of our new temple here on the Garden Island of Kauai. Today we're going to share with you a talk given on November 11th to a group of Hindu pilgrims, about 15, in our Kadavol Hindu temple here at Kauadinam. The subject that they needed to hear, the creation of a home, a real home, and the raising of children. In it explained how, with mother and father working, the children are basically street children. Nobody to talk to, nobody to guide them. Everyone too tired, and they just get yelled at. We give some very potent examples of how this is working out in the United States of America. We would like to turn the situation around. There are newspaper articles, magazine articles, and you see it on television occasionally. America's waking up that a woman's place is in the home, a mother's place is in the home. A full-time mother taking care of her husband and her children is what's needed for the next generation. They say mothers like to work because they like to express themselves. A home has so much of intrinsic values for the next generation, plenty of room for self-expression. I think you'll enjoy this inspired talk. Today with Living with Shiva we have cultural accomplishments. And I'm going to read you a few of these sutras. Lovers of Shiva shall learn a skill or craft regarding the use of the hands, such as pottery, sewing, knitting, weaving, painting, gardening, baking, or the building of arts to manifest creative benefits for the family and community. All over the world, even in our organization, Saiva Siddhanta Church, young girls are being... You ask them what they're going to do. They say, I'm going to be a lawyer. They're all going into men's occupations. You ask them, can you cook? No. What can you actually do around the house? When I'm a lawyer, I'll hire somebody. Can you raise children? They don't know anything about that either. Therefore, children are basically raised up on the street with no father, no mother, nothing to guide them except other children. Children are being raised today by other children. Parents rarely talk to their children today. Husband's an engineer, the wife's a doctor, they have nothing in common. It doesn't even go along with a Hindu caste system. It's only the worker caste, the Shudra caste, where both men and women work. And then what all this money, what good is it going to do? The children will squander it after you die. They won't be loyal to a family tradition because there is no family tradition. All over the United States it's being recognized that a mother's place is in the home. Her mind free from worldly affairs. Teaching the children the ritual worship, teaching the children the kalas of refinement and culture and art, taking the children to the temple, giving them a life and communicating with them, knowing who their friends are, what they're doing, knowing their parents, not losing contact with the children. Normally in Hindu society, in today's world, everybody follows everyone else. Everyone is following everyone else. Where is the individuality and who are the leaders? They're too few and far between. We stop and think, what about the next generation of Hindus? A young man contacted me from Houston, Texas. He started going to the Hindu temple in Houston, Texas. He was beaten so badly by his father and hated his father so much that he totally turned away from Hinduism. He, along with thousands of other children, thought that if the parents treat us this way, for their benefit, not for ours, what is it in this religion that's worthwhile? He's now with a psychiatrist going over his past hates and fears about the corporal punishment, the whipping that he got at home. He joined a gang, went on drugs, stole, lied to his parents, and through our encouragement, he's back in school now, and hopefully one day will graduate with an education, and he's, thanks to the temple, he's off drugs and living a fairly decent life, but left with the scars in his mind of being beaten, being pinched, being slapped, rather than being explained to, being raised with love. And we have thousands of other testimonies from all over the world of kids that are hurt and abused and in the upper class Hindu families. We hope that you'll take a message back to your community that discipline means to teach, not to hurt, and that ahimsa means not hurting anybody physically, mentally, or emotionally. We know a few Hindu families who've never beaten their children or disciplined them physically in any way, and we ask them why. We said, because we love them. We love them. So how do you train them? How do you discipline them? Well, we have them go into the shrine room and for 10 minutes and think over what they did wrong, and then come back and we talk to them. We communicate. But we said, well, what about TV? Aren't you watching TV all the time? He said, no, you can't watch a lot of TV and raise children. They consume a lot of your time. Of course, in those families, the mother was at home, and the home wasn't just like a hotel lobby with people coming in and going out. I can't imagine why the desire in the Hindu community to buy big homes and furnish big homes and never live in them. Never live in them. Mother's out early in the morning, back late. Father's out early in the morning, back late. And the kids are out with other kids on the street. Where is the vibration of the home? The vibration of the home is asuric. The demons live there and cause people to argue and to fight. Now we like to turn this around. We like the Indian Hindu community to become the model of all communities in the United States of America. Well, I'll be seeing you in all of our old familiar places where we enjoy sitting together, looking at our computer screen. I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. It's Darshan time again tomorrow in Cyberspace Ashram. Tune in. We'll be looking at each other through cyberspace.